Let us then turn in God's words to Deuteronomy chapter 4 as we continue looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4, continuing from verse 19 as we concluded last week. We'll read the whole text, but we will rejoin our sermon already in progress. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll read the whole of the text and begin looking at God's word, where we concluded last Lord's Day. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, Lord God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart. They depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire, but you heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you may observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any flesh that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole host of heaven. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image, in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither you see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God to obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To do to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you on earth. He showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved you, your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence and with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their lands as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities on the east side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in the past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. Bezer in the wilderness, on the plateau of the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the grace of our God to us, we have to realize, going back to the beginning of this chapter, how awesome and how gracious it is that God has given to us his statutes. He has given us his teachings on how we are to live in this world. We as human beings come up with our ideas, and people come up with certain ideas which are similar to the words of God, to thou shalt not kill, but usually that gets some sort of exception historically. And other sorts of things, you can't steal, but if somebody's got more than I do, I can definitely steal that. Or, you know, we as human beings have, as Paul says, the law of God written on our hearts, but we pervert it. We twist it. And God says, no, this is the just and the righteous law, not of some earthly teaching. This is the law of Almighty God. And we are to see what an awesome gift that is, and to teach it again and again, as we read in our passage, to our children's children. And then Moses reminds Israel of discipline, of covenant correction. And he starts with himself, because Moses failed miserably at the rock of Meribah. And he says, because I failed, I'm not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. He goes on to say, Israel, you will fail. And we need to realize that as well. We will fail. We are not perfect. We will never on this earth be perfect. God is a merciful God. God is a God who saves. And so when God corrects us because of our sins, We are called back to Him. It is not God kicking us out when we are corrected. Even when we as a church have to do discipline and those sorts of things, that's not kicking people out and saying you're never going to come back. It is God saying through the church, and when God disciplines us and corrects us individually, it is God saying you need to see how serious sin is. Paul puts it this way, to deliver certain people to Satan for the restoration of their souls. Why do we do that? Because sin is serious, and Israel received the consequences of their sins. They were sent into other lands because they had desired to worship other gods, and that's the center of this passage. God calls Israel to worship Him. Notice the first four commandments as we move forward are about what? Worship God. Service to God. It's not just about earthly things. And then they're going to fail. But then God is going to chastise them, to discipline them. And God is going to call them back. And in those foreign lands, God says through Moses, you will desire and seek the Lord. Notice verse 29. If you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, first commandment issue. God does not take play second fiddle. We need to seek God with all our heart, with all our soul. When God disciplines us, when He chastises us, and God hears, when we fail, when we fall far short, because we will, and when we are disciplined, and we will be, God says very clearly, there is no son whom a father does not chastise, does not chasten. And the Lord is perfect in that. Don't see that as God casting away, but see that as the loving correction of Almighty God. And then we are to cry out to God, and He hears, and He will bring back. And then again, notice what they're to do, what we're to do. We are to be obedient. When we have cried out to God, when we have turned to God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, we are to serve and obey Almighty God again. And God saves sinners. It's kind of an interesting place at the end of this passage for these last verses that I read, verses 41 through 43. These cities of refuge. But brothers and sisters, the city of refuge is a place for us because we fail. We are sinners. We murder. Jesus said, anyone who calls his brother a fool. That's pretty much what the internet's built on, right? Is worthy of hellfire. At least Facebook, Twitter, and all the... Anyway. Is worthy of hellfire. Is murdering. Well, guess what? Murderers have a place of refuge too. In Jesus Christ. If we truly repent of our sins, if we truly believe on Christ, there is hope. There is eternal hope. Not just earthly hope. God gives to us an eternal promised land. So jumping in, Moses reminds God's people that His covenant is to be taught to their children and to their grandchildren, even when they fail. God will discipline those who walk away from the covenant, but He's ready to restore. The Lord loved and the Lord saved Israel. God brought them out of the iron furnace in Egypt to be His people and inheritance. Remember, of course, that Egypt, slavery in Egypt was a picture of slavery to sin. And slavery to sin is far more nasty than even the Egyptians were to the Israelites. It is. Don't get that wrong. We kind of like sin. Israelites kind of, after they look back on it, liked Egypt, didn't they? Remember what they said in the wilderness. Oh, it was good in Egypt. It was okay. Guess what? When we consider our sins, that ain't so bad. Yes, yes it is. We need to turn away from sin. And we need to glorify God that He is the one who brought us out of slavery to sin. And God brings us to an inheritance to be God's special people. Not because we're worthy. Notice later on he talks about that. He loved your fathers, therefore he chose them, verse 37. He brought you out of Egypt with his mighty power. He drove out, verse 38, from before them nations greater and mightier to bring them in. It's not about how good and how important we are. It is about God's love for us as his people. And Moses talks about the fact of God's judgment on him. Because Moses, we read elsewhere, was the most humble man, the most meek man in the history of the world. Of course, I'm assuming Jesus Christ accepted. And yet Moses failed at Kadesh. Now we can somewhat sympathize with Moses again. Israel was complaining about water again. They had done this numerous times previously. And God said for Moses to place his rod above the rock and cry out to God for water, and God would provide abundantly. And instead of doing that, Moses struck the rock. And he said, to water you, must we bring water out of this rock? Moses was frustrated with the children of Israel. It's easy, by the way, for pastors to get frustrated with people who again and again are recalcitrant about God's word, who again and again seek to get around the things that are clearly taught there. And brothers and sisters, Moses had to deal with the Israelites who did this again and again and again and again. And yet, Moses despised the mercy that God was giving to Israel. And we as Christians must not do that. We must realize the mercies that God gives to us each and every day are from Him. And so often we as human beings, as we're struggling, as we're frustrated with things that don't move on in the way that we desire, we look at even the gifts of God as problems. And Moses struck that rock, and we're told later on that that rock was Christ. Did Moses know that? I don't think we know whether or not he did. But Moses failed to honor the way in which God required things to do. He did not honor God. By the way, notice how that's spoken in this passage. His words didn't honor God. It was not so much even merely the striking as it was the words by which Moses dishonored God. Must I bring water out of this rock? Who brought the water? God did. Who provides for us mercies every day? God does. Not we. Not our abilities. We praise God for the rain. He's the one who provides. And yet when God provides sun, we need to trust in Him too. This all comes together so beautifully today. As we think about God as our Father. When God doesn't send rain, is that good? Yeah. When God sends a car accident that takes your life, or nearly does, been there, done that. Is that good? Yeah. Might cause us to think about what we're doing with ourselves. When God leaves us, and this is one that I so struggle with, when God puts people into states in which, you know, their minds are gone, or perhaps their bodies are gone even worse than their minds are gone, and their minds are perfect, and they need help for everything. Is that okay? Is that good? Yeah. Don't be afraid of that stuff. Trust God. He does not do wrong. He does not do wickedness. And in all of those our opportunities, think of Johnny Erickson Tada, one example. She can't do anything virtually, physically, and how powerful she is by the word of the Lord. We need to do it God's way. We want it now. We want it quick and easy. By the way, it was an interesting thing I ran into this week. We want it fast. Quickness in the Bible is associated with disobedience, with human beings, and with folly. Slowness is associated with God and with wisdom. We so often as human beings got to get it done. And so Moses talks about God's judgment on him. And then Moses, and when I say that, by the way, when I say Moses speaks or Paul speaks, notice that God is using these instruments. God is speaking through them. Never divorce that. Especially as we have it written in the Bible. Moses, God says, you know what, Israel, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to fail. God's going to bring judgment. Take heed. First of all, the first place is worship. That you do not forget God's covenant and make a carved image of anything that God has forbidden. Don't forget God's commandment. Notice again, a reminder, what did they see at Mount Horeb, at Mount Sinai? No image. No picture. This was the Word of God. What do we need? We need the Word of God. We don't need pictures. We don't need images. We don't need crosses and all of these other things. We need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit of God. We need to live in this world as Christians, as the picture of Christ that God has put in the world. Remember that danger and do what? Don't make a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. And go through those things again. I don't want to spend the time on it, but notice anything on this earth, because what do? It's not just talking about the animals or the sun, moon, and stars or people, but we make an idol out of anything. We don't need to make an image from that perspective when we serve stuff, when we serve the creature, the things of this world, whatever it happens to be. Technology, long life, all of those different things are still idols. We are not to worship them or to serve God by them, by the way, as we think about what the Catechism rightly says. That idols also come in the forms of, hey, I'm going to serve God. Notice what Aaron said with the golden calf. This is the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is the way in which they were to serve God that Moses was up on the mountain talking to. Not in the fire, not worshiping God as the spirit that he is, but rather as an earthly thing through which they serve God, through which they worship God. God is what? Verse 24. A consuming fire. A jealous God. He will destroy for disobedience to his commandments. He's a consuming fire. We have to understand that. When we think about disobeying God, we have to have that picture. God is a jealous God. He will not give his glory to another, to a false God. And then we talk about children again, when children and grandchildren, and you have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image. Moses tells Israel that their children will walk away from God's commands. Further, remember the reminder and the impetus to teach their children God's commands so that they won't. Because what happens when our children don't believe and follow God's commands? Are they okay? No. Understand that. This is not just for me or for us. This is for our children and in love for our grandchildren. For their eternal souls. And God says he's going to scatter the disobedient and they will be few in number among the nations. Now this is what happened when God sent Israel into captivity, when Judah was also sent into captivity later on. Because they wouldn't serve God and they followed false gods, the work of men's hands, which are deaf and dumb, verse 28. Why? Notice apostasy in worship comes first. And that's what's true in our nation as well. As we come up upon all of these other problems that go on in our nation, the first problem is who are people worshiping? And I think that's very true as well as we think about coming back out of the trouble that we're in. Where do we start? We start by making all sorts of laws telling people what they have to do and what they can't do. Start with the heart, the gospel. All of this other stuff will change. God calls Israel to be obedient. And they were not. Because they won't serve God, they follow dumb gods, the work of men's hands, which are deaf and dumb, can't do anything. God gives them what they want. They wanted to worship false gods, so they were given the opportunity to go with the nations and worship them. God gives us the things often that we ask for in wickedness as well. The people of this nation, the Christians who claim to be Christians, don't go to church on Sunday. Guess what? For months, they've had it taken away from them in many places. Do we love worship? When we don't honor, when we don't desire the things God says we need, he'll take it away from us. And then, hopefully, and God says they will, and we read in history that Israel did. They turned back to the Lord from the nations to which God had dispersed them. From those nations, verse 29, you will turn to the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When these things come and when they're in distress, and by the way, when we're in distress, we need to turn back to God, not away from them as we so often do. This distress will come upon them because of their disobedience to God. Yet while they're in distress for their own disobedience, God calls them to obedience. Verse 31, for the Lord your God is what? A merciful God. And he will not forsake what? His covenant, his words. Notice that. One of the reasons that we have hope is because God says we have hope. Not because we're worthy. But because God said, I will save those who believe on me. Brothers and sisters, how awesome is that? We don't deserve any of this. But God is a gracious God. Even when they have forgotten, God is merciful. What an awesome God we serve, brothers and sisters, that while we are sinners, while we are unworthy, when we have fallen away, even having God's commandments, having been taught them by our parents and our grandparents, when we turn back, God hears us. And he will forgive. He will have mercy. How awesome our God and his mercy is. And so, brothers and sisters, as we've had the opportunity to look at these verses this morning, We need to understand that God does bring hardship when we fail, when we fall away from God. Notice Moses as an example even of that, when we do not give God the glory that he deserves. And Israel did. And brothers and sisters, we do it too. Don't point fingers at others. Look at our own hearts. And brothers and sisters, when we fail, and even when we feel the correction of God, come back to him, for he is merciful, and he will forgive. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace to sinners. We do not come before you as those who are righteous or worthy. We can only come to you through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his sacrifice. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us to honor you, to glorify you. We pray, Lord, when we fail, and even when we feel your discipline and your correction, that we would not run the other direction, for that is so easy for us to do, but rather that you would call us back to yourself and that we would hear that call and that we would repent, for our hope is in Christ alone. And we praise him for what he has given to us. And we pray these things as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.